Remember those days of childhood, sitting out on the porch in summer, reading a good book?
Well, guess what? You can still do that. No one is stopping you. In fact, we're going to make it even easier. When you subscribe for a yearly EPP membership or renew your yearly EPP membership between now and July 15th, we will give you a free e-copy of our book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters, Told by Real People. All you have to do is sign up for a yearly EPP membership, upgrade to a yearly EPP membership, or renew a yearly EPP membership between now and July 15th. Email me direct, tony@realghoststoriesonline.com, and let me know you did that, and I will then personally send you an e-copy of our book for you to sit out on the porch, relax. Turn the lights off. That's kind of hard to read with the lights off. Use a flashlight or do whatever you want, really. But it's an e-copy of the book you can enjoy this summer. Check it out. Help keep us on the air and enjoy getting a free copy of the book when you sign up for a yearly EPP membership with Real Ghost Stories Online. And thanks for your support. Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the haunted Hillview Manor. Originally known as the Lawrence County Home for the Aged, or poorhouse of the area, the history at the Hillview Manor is raw and living. What is now known as the haunted Hillview Manor, the residents of the past seem to still be roaming its halls. The property was a dumping ground in the first part of the 1900s for what our unenlightened society viewed as its outcasts. By today's standards, the practice would be completely unacceptable and inhumane. Everyone from criminals, orphaned children, to widows and the mentally ill lived together at the Hillview Manor. Many would find their final resting place on the grounds of Hillview, many of the deaths being questionable at best. It only makes sense that a facility once packed with distressed and abandoned living souls, that its walls would still echo that torment. In 1974, the Hillview Manor transitioned into a nursing care facility, and in 2004 finally closed its doors because of financial difficulties. It has since sat vacant of actual living tenants until paranormal investigators were able to convince its current owners to open its doors for research and investigation into the accounts of ghostly activity in and around the ominous building. On today's episode of The Grave Talks, we talk with Rochelle Razzo and Jim Backus, the foremost investigators of the haunted Hillview Manor. We hear the story of its ghosts, spirits, and why they choose to haunt the Hillview. Were these spirits once residents of its historic building, or have they arrived to the party after the living left? We'll also examine what the future may hold for the Hillview Manor as time continues to move forward.
As far as the history is concerned, before Hillview even was a, you know, existed, the property itself was just, it was just empty lot. I mean, beautiful view. I think that's why they chose the location, is because before all the trees and the developments and everything went up, you had a really pretty view from a far distance of the woods and everything. So that's why they named it Hillview Manor, I believe.
And we're up on a little hill.
Yeah, it's like on top of a hill. But it was, I know that Newcastle itself was prominent Indian territory, and I think it housed like the Shenango, the Delaware, the Iroquois, the Lenape, different Indian tribes. We don't believe that this was built over any type of Indian burial ground or anything, but we have had people from the neighboring development tell us that they've seen what looked like Indians walking across the property in the back. I don't know, because none of these tribes wore headdresses, and they said that these they saw had headdresses. So, I mean, sometimes you can't always believe what, you know, people tell you.
What was the original reason for construction of the building?
It was, go ahead, Jim.
It opened up in 1926 as a Lawrence County home for the poor. And it was basically used to house a whole different group of people who couldn't live for themselves or take care of themselves, or people who were released from prison, or, you know, unwed mothers, people like that, that didn't have anywhere to go.
What was its lifespan as the what society called the poorhouse at that time?
It was a poor farm from 1926 to 1976, and then in 77 it turned over into Hillview Manor, which was the nursing home setting for like extended care, and that closed in 2004.
What was life like for the residents in that period of time at the Hillview Manor, or at that point, the Lawrence County home for the aged?
If they lived here, they had to work here. They had a farm, so they had farm animals, they had crops, so people had to take care of the crops and the animals. If like the kitchen area, for instance, they had to work in the kitchen, they had to do things. So if you lived here, you had to work here. It was basically self-sustained. I guess the conditions were really good back then, but yet, you know, these people were poor. They didn't have any money. The state funded them. They did need to make extra money here and there.
There's a lot of negligence here also, for real.
I mean, we don't have proof of it, but a lot of rumor behind the negligence, especially when we found one of the ledgers of the burials in the cemetery out back. Most of the people buried back there aren't even from the poor farm. They're from Lawrence County, so it's hard to tell exactly how many are back there, because the ledger only has like approximately 400 people buried, and that was just from the 30s to the 50s. And some of the people from the poor farm that were listed in that, in as being buried in the cemetery, died from fractured skulls just a couple days after they got here, which we very suspicious, because, you know, if you're coming here, this was supposed to be a safe haven for people that didn't have homes. Why is it that these people are dying from fractured skulls a couple days later? So as far as the conditions, I mean, that was meant to be a great place for people, but yet some of the records and things that we have found that were left behind suggest otherwise.
The practices that went on within those walls, obviously we're talking about a great deal of time ago, probably not many records that would exist to show what occurred, and any accounts would be many generations old. Can you speak to any of that? Can you speak to any of what may have been going on based on the rumors or the stories that you're...
Yeah, sadly, we have nothing really to go on as far as when it was the poor farm, because it was so long ago and records were just gone, you know, but...
When you hear stories about other buildings like ours and... a lot of that history isn't very good, but and a lot of it is hearsay, because there aren't a lot of records that exist from that time. But when so many different places have the same kind of histories, I think you are thinking, okay, maybe there's something to this. And that history, you know, is basically these people, you know, were here without anybody knowing who they were, and everybody working here. If you had somebody that wasn't in his right mind, maybe just figured I can do whatever I want and get away with it, and so
experimentation. I believe that we do have one story about that that we heard. We had someone here filming to do like a documentary, and they did research on this location in New York, and it was about vaccinations on children, and that they were experimenting these vaccinations with the children by pumping them full of vaccinations until either they died, got sick, you know, or they were trying to figure out what the vaccinations did, if they gave him so many doses or, and when he was researching this, Lawrence County home in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, I don't know if it was Newcastle or Lawrence County, but it came through on the records that they were doing these experimentations on children here too.
Eventually the 70s come about and it is turned strictly into a nursing care facility. What was it like there at that time for that window?
You know, it's hard to say that because
Well, we do
get
a lot
of
guests.
There's so many people still that work there that listen to our stuff, and and they'll claim that it was wonderful. But we've spoken to other people that said that their family members were here and they were not treated very well.
I had a guest here today, actually, who her grandmother lived here, and she was here all the time with her. And she was like, yeah, we used to go down to that room and eat lunch in that room to do crafts in. And that tells us a lot of, you know, history, too, that we wouldn't know unless they would, you know, they told us. So we get to pass that information on. But, according to her, it was great.
Yeah. That was more, I think, towards, she said 20 years ago.
So. Yeah, it would have been the late 90s before they closed.
Once the nursing facility closed its doors, what happened with the building at that point?
Well, it closed due to the fact that it was falling apart already, and the county didn't want to do anything with it. So they put it up for auction, and the owners that have it now have owned it since they put it up for auction because they want it. It was actually the mother of the people that own it now wanted it at auction. And then she passed away soon after, and it was left to her children, which I guess I would say real estate. They buy property and turning them in, you know, turn it into
They originally wanted to make an apartment, and they couldn't do that with the damage it was done to the building. It cost way too much money.
And the damage, not only because there was disrepair when they left, the county left it, but also because shortly after it was purchased at auction, people came in truckloads. And no one called the police because they just figured it was just sold. You know, they're doing work on it. And these people were in here with bagged lunches, stealing the copper. You know, that's how comfortable they were. They were bringing lunches in. They were stealing the copper and wiring and pipes and stuff out of the building, which was catastrophic to the building. So they kind of just left it sit here for a while, and someone approached them about doing investigations here because of all of the rumors that we had heard, you know, from the employees that lived here or worked here, you know, told us that it was haunted when they worked here.
Paint us a better picture of what the building physically looks like.
It's approximately 83,000 square feet.
There's two wings and two floors, and then a third floor, which is basically the center of the building.
It's laid out kind of like a goalpost, the old portion of the building. I always forget, and we know that how many rooms are in this place, and still I cannot remember for the last how many rooms. Prior to them building One North, I think One North added probably around 20 rooms, I would say, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
But prior to that, probably about 8 rooms on each wing, 2 wings, and then several on the third floor.
Close to 50 rooms, probably.
Yeah.
Tell me more about the first reported hauntings or hauntings that anyone had knowledge of within the confines of the Hillview Manor.
We don't have a lot of stories as far as hauntings when it was a poor farm because most of those people have passed away and we really don't get anyone here telling us stories. but the employees, I'd say earliest hauntings were...
Jeffrey. What,
yeah, Jeffrey's probably the biggest one. Jeffrey, we don't know exactly for sure who Jeffrey is. We get a lot of EVPs from him. But the nursing staff said that they would see a little boy all the time, like patients would. And within a couple of days from a patient claiming that he saw this little boy that passed away. And that was very common throughout Hillview. And if you ask, you know, we've talked to nurses, doctors that have worked here, and they all said, you know, that's true. That happened. And then we also have some nurses' records, like just like notes they take on patients, like daily schedules and, you know, how the patients were reacting that day. And there's a couple of our paperworks that say that they saw a little boy. I mean, like one woman even said she saw children playing outside of a room when there was no one there, and that these children would come flat. I don't understand what this means, but would come through her window flat. Almost like they were seeping into the room.
Creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy. But Jeffrey, we got a lot of EVPs in a room from a little boy that says his name's Jeffrey. And it is one of the rooms where one of the patients claimed they saw him and then passed away. And they explained him as having a ball cap and knickers on, which we're believing, you know, put him back in the
20s and 30s.
Like 20s and 30s. And then we get, what, Babe Ruth.
Yeah, I love Babe Ruth.
So we dubbed that Jeffrey's room. That may have been his room at one time.
Are there any more stories about what went on in terms of unexplained activity while it was a nursing care facility?
I know that my neighbor, I think it was my neighbor, told us that like on the third floor, a lot of people hated work on the third floor and the west wing on the second floor because of sounds and things they would hear and see. It was somebody in a wheelchair. They saw someone in a wheelchair on the third floor and were thinking, well, everybody should be in bed. How would somebody get out and get into a wheelchair by themselves? And when they went to go check, there was no one there. So they saw the wheelchair, but then when they got up to go look and see who it was, they were gone.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.